Thank you so much for joining us, Lister.
Oh, thank you.
Now, first question, what do scientists think the Great Attractor is?
The Great Attractor is a bit of an enigma. The term was first coined about 30 or so years ago, and it refers to a part of our nearby universe. And when I say nearby, I'm still talking hundreds of millions of light years. It refers to a part of our nearby universe into which a bunch of nearby galaxies, galaxies nearby to us, seem to be gravitationally attracted towards. Our galaxies and many other galaxies seem to be being pulled by something within that vicinity, and that's where the name came from. So, you know, it's an enigma. How it got there, we don't know. What it is, we have an inkling of, but even after 30 years, we're still a little bit unsure of what exactly it is.
And when and how was this idea of a great attractor generated?
Well, we know the universe is expanding. The Hubble law, or the Hubble Lemaitre law, as it's called these days, and we know that's caused by a Big Bang. But what happens after that, and what happens at late times in the evolution of the universe, is that gravity starts acting and starts slowing that expansion. And the more dense the part of the universe you live in, the stronger that attraction is, and the slower the local Big Bang expansion is, if you follow me. So what seems to be the case here is that when astronomers started accurately, or more accurately, measuring the motions of galaxies a few decades ago, they started seeing this slowing down, this deceleration in certain parts of the nearby universe, nearby space. And it was those measurements which suggested that, well, maybe this is caused by a huge unseen mass. And we're not just talking about like a little black hole. We're talking about something which is about 10 million billion times the mass of our own sun, so a lot of mass in a concentrated region, not ultra concentrated, but a region that's again tens to hundreds of millions of light years across.
Right, that's a lot of mass. Oh my god! And why is there so much confusion surrounding this?
A lot of confusion surrounding this because initially it seemed to contradict our well-regarded theory of how the universe evolves, the so-called cold dark matter theory, or the so-called lambda cold dark matter theory, where we think that most of the normal matter in the universe is actually not atomic matter, but is this so-called dark matter. And that theory predicts certain fluctuations away from uniform expansion, which were actually quite far below the sort of measurements that were being made. So there has been some confusion because has been variously clear and unclear whether the experiments or the observations have fit the theory or not. And also some of the observations gave vastly different results, because these are difficult measurements to make. We're trying to measure the distances of very distant galaxies to a few percent or a few tens of percent, which is not straightforward.
Right. So where is the Great Attractor located in relation to the Milky Way?
Yeah, so part of the confusion you mentioned also arises because this Great Attractor is actually behind the plane of our own Milky Way. And that's a bit unfortunate because as astronomers start looking, if astronomers look at the sky beyond the Milky Way, they don't want the Milky Way getting in the way. And that's just what happens when you approach the plane of our own galaxy. There's a lot of dust in the plane. That dust obscures the measurement of background galaxies. It makes it more difficult to image galaxies. It makes it more difficult to measure the redshifts and measure other properties. So it's a really awkward part of the sky for most astronomy to occur. There are some parts of the electromagnetic spectrum, such as radio astronomy, where it's much easier. And so there has been some progress in that area. But the existence of this mass concentration in the general area of the disk of the Milky Way has certainly not helped.
Of course. So in the 1990s, your team began using the Parkes multi-beam receiver. Can you tell us a bit about this research you completed into space and what you found?
Yeah, so we've been using the Parkes telescope and the multi-beam receiver for a couple of decades now, and in the late 90s and in the early 2000s, we began a series of observations across the sky, and in particular, for this bit of research, we did some very deep observations along the plane of the Milky Way. And that was not to investigate our own galaxy, that had been done before, but that was to probe behind our galaxy to see what was out there that we'd previously missed. And we were able to do that because the galaxy is essentially transparent to radio waves. Radio waves are much longer wavelength, of course, than optical radiation, and can pass through regions of the Milky Way which optical and infrared light can't do without being severely hampered, severely extinguished. So in doing that, we found made over 1,000 measurements of new galaxies, most of which were new, and were able to reconstruct or help reconstruct a more detailed picture of the local universe. And that put into place a more clear picture, a more coherent picture of what was actually happening out there. You know, what did this great attractor exist or didn't it? And if not, what were behind these strange results?
Wow. So, last but certainly not least, what's next for your research into space?
We're currently concentrating using a telescope that we call ASCAP. ASCAP is the Australian SKA Pathfinder, where SKA stands for the Square Kilometre Array. ASCAP is a CSIRO instrument. It's located in Western Australia, and it's certainly the next frontier for making large surveys of the sky with radio telescopes. And it's the next frontier because it allows us to make sensitive maps of the sky with high resolution. It allows us to see fine details in the sky, fine details of galaxies in the sky, which we weren't able to see with the Parkes telescope because Parkes telescope forms blurry images, if you like, of the sky, whereas ASCAP, being a what we call an interferometer, has a number of elements, 36 elements, spread across the ground, allows us to catch finer detail in galaxies.
Oh my God, that sounds amazing. Well, thank you so much for joining us, Lister, and good luck with your research.
Okay, good to talk to you. Thank you.